I'm Krista Bender, and you're listening to AV Power Up on Rave Radio.
I'm Corey Moss, CB Moss on Twitter, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, on all the other social media dumps, and you are listening to AV Power Up on Rave Radio.
Hey everyone, my name is Johnny Mutta at JMutta3 on Twitter, should that still exist by the time you hear this. This is AV Power Up.
Hello, hello. This is at Hot Jobs Rich. Look for me, Rich Prevetti. And we are brought to you by AV Power Up today. Ladies and gentlemen, the queen of AV chaos, our very own Krista Bender.
That's a very appropriate title. Thank you, Rich. Thank you for tuning in this week and listening to us. As you can see, we're down to four, but that's okay. Everybody else is busy, and we're just not busy this week. So I want to take a minute and thank our sponsor, which is Ingram Micro. Visit ingrammicro.com to find out how they can help you with your AV and IT needs. Hey, Rich, do you have any listeners that you want to thank?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But first, I want to tell you, make sure you stick around for this very, very important round of hot jobs that we have for you this afternoon. But right now, I went to different schools with all of these people. Mike Does AV. Look for Mike at Mike Does AV. Thanks, Mike. And then we have, this is a really cool one, C at CNEHDN1. Thanks, Jason, for listening. And last but not least, at Erica _ Camuso. Camuso. Thank you, Erica, for listening. I messed up her last name, but nonetheless, thank you. And good job. Stay tuned. Thanks. Back to you, Krista.
So tonight on the show, we have two guests. One may have been a guest on our show once before. I can't recall. Katie, have you been a guest on this show before?
I've been on this program before. Yes, indeed.
I thought so. So, to everyone who doesn't know who that is, that's Katie McGregor. Mm-hmm. And our other guest has not been on Power Up before, but she is not afraid to try new things, and that is Christina Ng. Hi, Christina.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. I'd like to thank you guys for letting me come and enjoy your 12-step program here on AV Power Up. I'm not doing very good with that, but, you know, like Katie, you know, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. They're called steps for a reason. The first step is just plow right through that first class, right into the second one.
All right, once you get to the 12th one, then we'll talk.
I'm drinking before I have to start the steps.
Oh, there you go. That's the way to do it. You know, there's only four of us tonight, Krista. Is everybody else trying to send us a message at this point?
No, because unbeknownst to the listeners, we're recording on a non-usual night, and that usually means that people have lives outside of this, and we're not available.
This, you know, it's interesting, I guess, is that you figure everybody would show up no matter when, but you're right, this is an off night, and, you know, it's okay. It's just the four of us holding down the fort here, but we do have two wonderful guests tonight, as you had introduced them. And yes, Katie McGregor Bennett has done this show before. As a matter of fact, she had our buddy Tim Bagonis on the show with her when she did it, right, Krista? Your friend.
That's right, Tim? Big ones. Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Yeah. DTools Tim Bagonis, and we do know Christina from another show that she did with us, which was fantastic, and we'll ask her about that too. And Johnny was there, and Krista was there, and Katie did the show, and Krista was there, and Johnny was there, and Rich was there. I don't know. We've all been there.
I feel like my likeness was there, but if anything, it was probably my assistant doing all the motor work in the background. So,
is your assistant there right now, Johnny?
She's actually downstairs cooking dinner.
Oh, wow. What's she making?
Probably nothing good with the way she's been cooking lately. But don't tell her I said that. She gets paid well, just not well enough to learn to cook real food. She likes dog food. Well, she prefers human food, but she's a dog, so I don't know. It's all good.
A little early for a stuffer a thing. So
okay, we'll get there.
You know, we'll just take it as it comes, I guess. Krista, we have two wonderful guests.
Yeah, and from what I understand, both of them were able to attend CEDIA this year. So what do you have on that, Katie? What thoughts? What was cool about Cedia? What was the big standout for the show for you this year?
You know, it's for me personally, I mean, as a publicist, that's kind of a scary question. I could take over the rest of the show and answer that. I won't. But I think it was really cool to see the amount of software-based solutions for solution-based offerings, things that relate to an integrator's back-end systems, operations, process, procedure, profitability, those kinds of things. We've been working with our clients, IHEGI and DTools, for years now, and that, you know, it's a drum that we've been banging on since day one. And it's to see the industry kind of come around and start to understand the importance of shoring up one's back-end system and making sure that operationally you've got what you need in place to build a better business. I like to see that we're there, you know, that there's more of a recognition of the importance of those things. Maybe a few less shiny, cool-looking boxes than we all expected to see or hope to see, but isn't that, you know, it's kind of the case for every trade show. But I think more than anything, it was a really active and dynamic conversation at every booth, no matter where you went or who you spoke with. It was a different show. There wasn't sort of the doom and gloom. It wasn't the, you know, all of the darkness of the economy is gone. I didn't see as many people walking around with resumes in their hands. It wasn't as, you know, sort of a, you know, catch as catch can. It was more of a, we're here to do business. We're here to seek out new opportunities. We're here to refine what we're doing and build bigger, better businesses. And I think for the first time in several years, that was seen across the board. You know, it was over in the corners of the Expo Center. It was right there on the main floor. It was over in the Omni. So, you know, from where I sit, I see, you know, we've kind of arrived at a new point where the integration community as a whole is evolving, emerging, getting a little bit more solidified in business and operations. And I think that's paves the way for some really incredible things coming. So
about how many people attend that show?
Oh man. Yeah. You know, see, I should have that number. I know attendance was way up, but like 16% up. I don't know. What are we? I think we're in like the 10, 12.
So 60% of five is not.
Yeah. I should know this. Ask another question, Krista. Come on.
Another question. How many days were you there at the show? How long is the show? Is it 3 days, 4 days?
It's a 3-day show. We were there for 10 days though. We do a lot of video production work and we had some installs in the area to go and shoot as well. So we went in a little early and did some video production on the front and backside, but for the show, we were there for the duration. It was awesome. I can't say enough about this year's event. You know, it was different. It was better.
So what about you, Chrissy? What was your takeaway from the show? Was it your first time being there?
It was. I'm a Cedia virgin, and actually, you guys are learning, I'm kind of an AV virgin, which means that my clock still flashes 12 on my VCR here. So I have a very different perspective from Cedia compared to the people who usually attend it. So we were there with Stampede Global, who is introducing unmanned aircraft into the AV system, I guess you could say. So we had a drone cage. We sponsored a large drone cage while we were there, and we were able to fly quite a few drones. And I would say that the thing that interested me that was kind of odd, not odd, but that that really struck me was how many people, once they realized that there was a drone cage and we were over there looking at drones, everybody who came over said, oh, I own one of these, or oh, I've been interested in getting into these, or how do we integrate this? And they didn't understand how to integrate unmanned aircraft into their systems. And so we started talking to them, and then all the lights started going off, and they were like, and we can do this with it, and we can film this with it, and we can do live streaming with it. So I think what was really interesting was it was sort of an anomaly, something that people probably didn't expect at Cedia. And now when they go home, they're able to take that information and try to figure out how to plug that into their own AV networks. It was just new. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So did you get the chance then to walk away from the drone cage and walk around and check out some of the other wares?
I did, mainly because I was looking for food, and I know that a lot of those little kiosks have food and goodies. So I was looking for a charger for my phone and some food one morning. And it was new to me. And I had a hard time really trying to figure out what was the point of Cedia. What really did Cedia provide the end users, and what end users were there looking at Cedia? And it was really across the board. Comcast was there, American Express was there, Nest was there, who, by the way, had a really cool setup. Stampede Global was there. A lot of companies that I was not familiar with was there. So it was nice for me to go ahead and start talking to some of these other companies. A lot of virtual reality companies were there for maybe sports, where you set up a whole home entertainment system in your house and you can hit golf balls at a screen or soccer balls at a screen, and it's very realistic. Those were the type of things that I was able to look at and be able to connect the unmanned aircraft or drones portion to, more so than anything else. Connecting an unmanned aircraft into your stereo system, just it doesn't work. So we were having to think outside of the box.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of sweet to be like in your kitchen and a drone's like flying around playing like Super Tramp or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. This is the future. We're in it now. Right? Think outside of the drone box.
Right. So imagine if you're watching Jurassic Park, and depending on what scene it is, your drone can literally fly to different portions of your room to get that whole theater experience. And instead of having your speakers, say, in the back right corner of your room, depending on what the scene is, it comes to the middle of the room so that it sounds more like the dinosaurs coming from your right. That's a great idea, actually.
I'm going to patent that. Hold on one second.
Go patent that.
That would be cool. If you wander around the house and you don't have everything wired up, and your music can just follow you around. And hopefully then the drone doesn't, you know, drop on you and cut you, which would be my case.
or maybe my future assistant will be a drone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a possibility.
You sure it's not already a drone?
I mean, she could be. I don't know.
He was warming up to R2-D2. Saw it. Have photos. I think maybe.
It happened.
Turn it into a drone. R2-D2 drone.
Hey, you make that happen, and I'll owe you a lot of money.
That is true. You will owe me a lot of money.
Right. Or a lot of wine.
That too. So, Katie, I believe, came up with a number there, Katie, right? Which you had
I did. I did. The power of the internet. It's amazing. Yes. So more than 18,700. I was super close to that.
Yeah.
That's 510 exhibiting.
Yeah. No, that's great. So, you know, Christine, I was going to say, so Stampede was at Infocom, Stampede at Cedia, the drone cages, and, you know, you have a different audience at both. So, and you were at Infocom, right, Christina?
No.
You weren't at Infocom, okay.
My business partner, Kelly, was at Infocom.
Ah, okay. So I was just curious, you're not being there, but I guess Kelly was, just curious as to the comparisons, differences, and all between the two shows.
I would love to have a magic ball and be able to answer that. Yeah, it's not something that I can.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But Cedia was the more recent one. So, you know, perspectives on Cedia are really what we're looking for here. But, you know, in talking about what Christina, you know, her discussions with us before. So the other show that we did, Tech Exchange, Krista and Johnny and Jane Johnson on that show. So, and that's where we got to really, well, I got, you know, as I said in that show, I got to meet her at a local event here that Stampede did, the Big Book of AV tour. And then we all got to talk to Christina on that show. So that was really your, I guess, entry into the AV environment per se on that show. So, you know, talk about that experience, Christina, doing that show. You know, kind of how you feel now in the AV environment.
So I appreciate you asking me to be on the first show to begin with. That's a big step in my career. Let me tell you, I got to put that on my resume now. I have to say that the AV side of the house, at first, like a majority of people, I probably would not have expected drones to be a part of that. And now that Stampede is really trying to put those two together, they're doing a really good job of it. And it's with help from people like, you know, you, Krista, Katie, Johnny, getting that information out there and saying, hey, look, there's this really neat new technology, and let's figure out how to get AV involved with this. I can see with a lot of tweets now from some of your followers that I've been able to reach out to and start following and talking to and figuring out what are the AV personnel interested in, and how do we start pushing unmanned aircraft or drones into that section. So after the last talk that we had, the last show, it was interesting to see on my Twitter feed with all my followers, which we know I have so many, that it's a different world at first until you start peeling those layers back and you realize that it's really interconnected and there's so much going on behind the scenes that in the end, all that technology is feeding into sort of one stream.
So as we know, all of us dealing with the AV insiders out there, the AV tweeps and all, have you gotten involved in that community, Christina? Have they been reaching out to you on social media? And of course, you did meet some of them probably at CEDIA. So, you know, what's been happening there?
A couple of the AV tweeps have reached out to me. One or two have asked about drones and how to... like what would their purpose be? Because some people aren't able to look outside this box. So they say, what are you doing on, you know, with AV tweeps? How do we help you? How do you help us? How does this technology connect itself up? And that's helped out quite a bit. And then I forgot your second question.
Oh, that's okay. I think you answered just fine with that.
I'll drink one more beer and then I'll totally start coming up with my own questions.
Then you'll remember better after that.
Yeah. But no, I think it's going to take a while, to be honest. I don't think that this is going to happen overnight. Our last podcast I did with you guys was 4 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning with this industry, it almost takes a year for people to really figure some of this out. So what we're talking about today, it's going to be very interesting in a year to come back and ask your AV tweeps, did you see this a year ago? Were you able to connect this a year ago? And what are you doing today that you weren't doing a year ago? And it's leaps and bounds. We look at the numbers, for instance, that the FAA put out a year ago, and they said something like, there's going to be, 7,500 or 10,000 unmanned aircraft in the skies in 2015. And recently they put out a number of 1 million drones under the Christmas tree this year. So yeah. That is just 1 year where even the industry experts had no idea of where this was going. So now we put this into a whole new vertical, which is AV, though really it's not a new vertical. It's more or less a new horizontal, I guess, that people haven't really been thinking about. We put this into a new vertical, and we're going to go from maybe 1 million to, what is it going to be, 4 million? I have no concept of what's going to happen once this technology is married up with this other technology that is in everybody's house, in every church, in every industry, in every stadium. What happens then?
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So Katie, what do you think? Drones? I mean, something good for the industry there, Katie, huh?
I think it is good for the industry. I think that, as Christina said, it does take us a year or more to wrap our arms around new technologies. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. You know, like it or not, we as an industry are responsible for delivering technology into the homes of consumers. Or homes or businesses for you guys on the commercial side. So, you know, with that, there's an intrinsic responsibility. And I think to rush out and start implementing a lot of these new technologies, not that this is new, but, you know, I think it's irresponsible. So to support Christina and what she was saying, you know, it does take us a while, but I think in this instance, this is good. You know, we on the KMB communication side got really into the drone concept for photography. We live in Montana. We live right on the outside of Yellowstone, 60 miles away. You're at the northeast gate of Yellowstone. So just to kind of be able to bring that home for us was be able to capture that footage and to provide some of that content to our customers. Stuart Film Screen constantly needs copyright-free content that we can show at trade shows, we can show at events, where we're not having to worry about where that image is going to be used. So for us as a PR team who's very much involved in the image and the image integrity and image fidelity, taking the drone concept and trying to figure out how we could apply it was really interesting. Way before, you know, we went ahead of our time. Neither one of us are pilots, you know. So getting to learn the technology was very challenging. Ours took off. It disappeared. It went rogue. We were one of those. Sorry, Christina. But it was frightening. And it literally, by the time we found it, we were both so enraged with it that I wanted to beat it to a pulp. And my husband was about the same. And I won only from the case of, you know, we're not going to do that. But that's my story for saying that technology implemented too soon before the full responsibility is understood and realized can be really kind of scary. And so I'm glad in this instance that we're taking our time as an industry to implement and deploy. But I think that the opportunity is insane. And, you know, for specific applications to anything with a photography angle, obviously is huge. But, you know, that can be brought into different markets and different verticals, horizontals, as Christina said. You know, so I think that the opportunity is huge. I think the responsibility is even larger. And, you know, I think as an industry, we have to challenge ourselves to be responsible and to make sure that we are operating these things safely and not bringing technology of this sort into someone's space before we're ready to own it. And by own it, I mean own the crash. What happens when something happens, you know?
Yeah.
And until we really understand that end of the spectrum, you know, and again, I'm a publicist, so I'm on the promotion side, but I work with software, with service providers. So that service aspect is huge. What happens when, ... insert catastrophe here. And I think that's the thing that we haven't really understood yet is how do we deal with those issues and how as an industry are we going to hold ourselves accountable and rectify whatever should happen? Because I think there's a big unknown. I love the technology. Saying that, love the technology. Amazing. And the opportunity it represents is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems, you're like so many people that call me on a daily basis, is the question is, how do you take something that for so long we have had this idea in our minds, these concepts, that this is a toy that your dad gets for you for Christmas and you go in your backyard and you fly? How do we take that and bring those people into this world of aviation, which is one of the most highly regulated and complex industries in the world, right? And so it's trying to figure out what is that happy medium between this is a toy and this is something that could potentially cause damage or harm people or we could have problems with. Where do we bridge that gap? And I commend you for even saying what happened here in unmanned aircraft. Most people be like, oh, and it was a great experience and yay, I'm a PR firm and this was awesome. Right? And we see that a lot, but we also have companies who go, oh, by the way, if you show us a video and let us post it on our website of your XX aircraft having a flyaway, we'll give you $500 off of your next one of our aircraft, because it happens so much. And in aviation, I want to stress that we have this saying that it's not if you're going to have an accident, it's when. So many people are afraid once they get into the aviation side of the house that they're going to have an accident. And we have to explain to them, welcome to aviation, it's going to happen. And you just have to have a program and a process in place, which is one of the things that we do, to help mitigate those risks. And really, unmanned aircraft is just about mitigating risks.
I think that's a great way of putting it. You know, it's there's always going to be risk, you know, and how do we address that? You know, it comes back to standards, I think. And as an industry, we probably are not thinking about that quickly enough. But, you know, there do need to be standards in place and, you know, and just sort of a place where the industry can go to get educated and become knowledgeable and to stay up to the minute. You know, I mean, so much is changing, you know, just like you posted with your last tweet there. You know, it's just changing so quickly. You know, do you need a license? Do you not need a license? At what elevation do you need a license? At what size drone do you need? You know, it's just, how do we as an industry create a place that is rich enough in its offering, but as real time as humanly possible so that, you know, these guys can take advantage of the opportunity, but mitigate that risk, as you said. And I think that's a challenge.
Yeah. Unlike other industries, AV has gone much slower, which is a good thing because you will reap the rewards by not having such a negative aspect because you won't have so many people who have had flyaways. So in the end, the people who do end up having unmanned aircraft as a part of their AV system, they will have a positive experience.
Hey, Johnny, do you have any stuff and things for us yet?
Yeah, I want to touch, as Chrissy said, you know, she's kind of new to the AV industry. She just said that she's got a VCR, I think, something from the past. It's got like the 12 o'clock signal flashing on it. Well, hopefully we update that to the future, the day we live in now, maybe a drone with an actual alarm clock or something like that. But on a serious note, it's a sad, sad day. Sad news, rather. The inventor of the snooze button has passed away, and the funeral will be held at 8 o'clock, 8:09, 8:18, and 8:27 a.m.
Wait a minute. I have to interject with something here. Do you know why on your iPhone, when you hit snooze, it goes for 9 minutes and not 10?
I don't have an iPhone. So
I think all clocks
go away now.
Chrissy, all clocks do that.
It is. So the inventor of the original snooze button, because it was one of the old-fashioned types of clocks, analog, it could only go to 9 minutes. And so to kind of acknowledge that gentleman, when the iPhone came out and they did their snooze, because the iPhone, it's digital, it can do whatever it wants to, they did it at 9 minutes instead.
Are you the one that's feeding information to Siri on iPhones? Because that was pretty well played. I give you points and credit for that one.
Thank you. I do know some AV stuff.
That was really good, Chrissy. You know what? I've never been able to master the snooze on my iPhone. I always accidentally turn it off and then sleep longer than 9 minutes.
I do too. So, but that's why if you notice, it's a 9 minute snooze and not a 10.
Hey, Johnny, I can only imagine that news would never be seen in the Android Daily, you know? Right?
Probably not.
The Android Daily is still in paper form, so by the time it got into print and distributed it, and
that's Johnny's online newspaper. What are you talking about?
All my media.
Online. You get it online with Android?
Sure.
I do all my stuff. I write it all on paper, and then I send it out via Pony Express. So it gets there. It just takes a really, really long time.
And his assistant handles all the rest. That's right.
It's the Puppy Express, not the Pony Express in Johnny's case, though. It's
not. Oh, everyone is right. On point today. Wow.
You can upgrade to a BlackBerry someday, I'm sure.
I have one still, just to like pretend that I'm like, you know, in the 80s. It's cool. I actually carry a pager. It's not like I'm a doctor.
So wait, who did the stuffing thing? Was it Johnny or was it Krista?
It wasn't me, that's for sure.
Krista, who did it?
That was a tag team effort.
Was it a tag team? Wow, yeah. First time. Wow, we may have to get her back one day to do another stuffing thing segment.
You know, I have to admit, having Christina on the show really is jacking me up so hard because people mess up my name all the time and call me Christina. So every time somebody says your name, I keep paying attention. Like, not that I'm not paying attention, but like I perk up and I'm like, oh, they're not talking to me.
I haven't messed up your name yet.
Well, no, you guys don't mess up my name. But in general, every day my life and my name gets messed up. At work, outside of work, all the time. So I just pretty much answer to anything. So anytime there's a Chris sound, like I just listen.
You mean that place with the red cups also messes up your name, right?
Yeah, but I don't go there that often. There isn't one convenient between my house and my job. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They do these red cups. I don't understand.
I don't get it. Who gives a shit? It's coffee. All right, just drink it.
Yeah. Who cares what color cup it's in, you know?
I purposely drive an extra couple miles just to pass that place to get coffee at a gas station when Pete's is closed or there's a line. I will go around that place just to not get coffee there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I'd say buy yourself a holiday cup, bring it, and get it filled and take care of that already, you know? I'm belly aching.
Jeez. Hey, Rich, you never weighed in on the coffee discussion. What do you like for coffee? Do you have a preference?
I'm old school. I do a old-fashioned stovetop percolator with coffee grinds. And we have this amazing chain.
Hey, do you have an ice box where there's this big block of ice in there?
Yeah, no, but his VCR is blinking 12 also. We're just... Yes, we're yes.
Just no, because the Mr. Coffee machines and the various... versions of that, they don't brew a good cup, and just the stovetop machine pot just works. It just works for me. I love
you know who else does that? Our little friend Gina Sansevero, she brews stovetop coffee.
It's a Brooklyn thing, see?
Yeah. What?
It's a New York thing. But we have this
I don't know what he's talking about.
We have this
sounds like cruel and unusual punishment.
That makes great coffee. Hmm.
Okay. You guys keep mentioning this place called the Wawa, and I have yet to understand what this place is.
Google it.
Yeah,
you know that thing. Google it.
Never heard of the internet. Sorry.
Speaking of Wawa, does anybody watch The Goldmans?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Well, it's filmed back in the. It's supposed to be from back in the 80s, I guess. And the store that they go to all the time is a Wawa.
That's it.
I did not know they had them back then.
Yeah, there was one right up the street for me. I grew up in like Northeast Philly, and I was like an old one without the gas stations, because that's where the Wawa was, and that's where Rita's was, Rita's Water Ice, which you probably now know what that is. I think they have that down in D.C., but that was, again, a Philly thing. So when we moved to Maryland when I was 8, there was no Wawa, and there was no Rita's Water Ice. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? It was very traumatizing. Hey, Rich, talk about traumatization. How are you coming along with your CTS studying? Have you highlighted the crap out of that new book you have?
No, not yet. For our wonderful guests that don't know, I'm more of a virgin to the AV world than you, Christina. And I'm studying now for another round of another CTS exam.
Do you know what CTS is, Christina? You might want to explain that.
I think you can take some penicillin for it.
He may have to soon.
That's what it sounds like. I'm not drinking out of his cup.
No. CTS is Certified Technology Specialist. It is Infocom standard. They are a industry certification, and it elevates your status in the AV world from just a regular Joe like me right now to someone who's invested a significant amount of time and energy and effort studying and truly understanding the all the dynamics behind the AV world. And I've not spent a lot of time in or continuing my studying with the actual Infocom manual or online, but what I've done, because and I said this earlier in previous broadcasts, I'm actually using some industry certification, manufacturers online training classes, and it's working out really well, because just today I was doing something with Shure Microphone, setting up a two mobile carts, and I knew exactly what to do and why, and different channel selection based on the channel selection availability from, that's not the right phrase, but a couple of years ago, we lost a significant number of channels. So it's going well. Every day is a just another good day of learning for me. And I've been in the industry, this is for our guest, I've been in the industry for about 4 years, and literally I haven't worked a day since I got here.
And, you keep working hard on that, Rich. I know you're going to pass it soon. Yeah. You know, I lose channels all the time at home, but it's mainly because I don't pay my cable bill. So there's that.
You know, Rich.
Go ahead.
You know, Rich, I was thinking after you pass the test, it'd be like, you can go from regular Joe to Rich Privetti CTS. Yeah, any of you out there, right?
I have those really important letters after my name rather than.
You rather too little, can be Rich Privetti CTS after he passes that test. Letters,
you can do it. Yeah,
that's right. but anyway, Rich.
Do we need to put, is there anything in the CTS that we can put in for unmanned aircraft on how to link those up with the frequency and to decide whether or not you need to be a ham radio operator or have your license?
No, but I feel like that you could probably teach a class on Infocom on something like that.
Yes, I think so too.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'd be there.
If it's not there, it will be soon.
Yeah, it's not there, I don't think, but yeah, if that's something that you think you'd be interested in broaching, I'm sure Infocom would listen to you, Christina, as far as that. Whether it's something you would do at a show or ahead of a show, like, you know, a webinar series or something, because it is something that's lacking so far. I don't think there's really anything going on telling us how to properly use drones in the AV world.
Webinar series sounds like a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I think you could easily do it in a couple-part webinar series. Yes. So, hey, Rich, just so you know, I'm going to not name names, but after our last podcast, someone who listens to the show confessed to me that they have failed their CTSD 3 times now.
Okay.
So they feel your pain. So, you know, there's people out there just like you, Rich.
Hey, you know, it's like I said, I haven't worked a day in 4 years, so it's the end of every day I walk away smiling. So,
Krista, would that be our 7th or 8th listener who admitted that?
8th.
8th, okay.
Yes.
We have Rich. When you pass, let me know, and let me know your shirt size, because I'm gonna get you a custom jersey. Infocom jersey that says on the back, and it'll like say number one, and on the back it'll read www.richprovetti.ctf.
We're going to set up the richprovetti.ctf site.
That's great.
The free is the important part, because
starting a Kickstarter, though.
Thank you.
With the new sites, you could do richprovet.io, so you could be Rich Provetio.
Oh,
there
you go.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So, Rich Provetti, January is when you take that test, right?
Well, January 16th, I'm eligible for it again. So, probably shoot for some time at the end of January.
All right, let's hope we're renewed and they don't cancel us, so we will be there, you know, hopefully when you do pass this test, you know, then we can tell the world.
Maybe we can send a drone and do a flyover as Rich is taking his test.
Get out of my head, Katie.
You know, in China, they're using drones to make sure people don't cheat. So, you know,
see?
A couple of drones.
There you go.
For those of you that don't know, this is at Pearson View, where you take the test. They have cameras above you, cameras behind you, and you sit in a open field of cubes where the moderator is right behind you. Essentially, it's really well done testing operation. So no jewelry, no watches, no cell phones, no nothing. Turn your pockets inside out. It's at the very first time I went, it was. Intimidating is not the right word, but it was a kind of a wow factor for me. Like, wow, they go through this amount of steps and regulations to make sure that everything's on the up and up.
Did nobody prep you and tell you that was going to happen to you?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, there's page after page of...
I mean, the rubber glove action was optional for you, Rich. That's because they liked you.
No, it wasn't optional for you.
Tell me is to love me. What can I say?
Mandatory.
Yeah.
He puts the man in mandatory.
You walk into the CTS and all, isn't this the guy with the W's? Or, hold on. Come over here, sir.
Yeah, right. Sir, step aside. This is for all those stupid W jokes.
We'll get you. Oh, man. Well, okay, so January, if we're still here, we'll find out. What can I say?
Yeah, that'll be awesome, because as soon as I find out that Rich has passed, then everybody will find out.
I'm going to be like those Kardashians. I'm going to break the internet that day.
You're going to put an extra W?
Unsubscribe.
It's going to be a 4W day on the internet.
4W day.
Everybody put in 4 W's on the day that Rich passes.
That's like the emergency stop button on an escalator. It's just going to stop. And then it's down to a crawl.
You know,
it's going to be like modem days.
Oh my God. It's 2015, and this is way off topic, but why isn't there a skip floor button on an elevator yet? Right? Just blew your minds.
I think you did. I think you blew everybody's with Katie.
Freaking out in the show.
I can't even.
You can't even get the sentence out.
No, I'm reaching for my glass quickly.
Yeah, here it comes. Big glass of wine. There you
drink,
go.
Drink.
anyway, Krista. Hi.
I got nothing, Corey.
Nothing?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I'm sure that you've written a blog or two or three since we've last spoken.
Corey doesn't do that.
I don't write. What did you just say?
Bacon. I can say blogs. You have to say bacon.
I don't write those.
It's in the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fry up bacons. Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. And I just put one on the publication today. It was a discussion I had this weekend with good friend Paul Zeely of AMX by Harman. We talked about Infocom Connections, which is taking place this week in New York, New York, at the Jacob Javits Convention Center on November 11th and 12th. I will be there on Wednesday and I believe Thursday. Krista will be there on Thursday. Rich will be there making a grand appearance on Thursday as well. And if you look at infocomconnections.org, you'll see all the great things to know about the event that's taking place over 2 days. Numerous exhibitors will be there, and the exhibitor list is there. Our workshops, sessions, and people who are going to be leading those sessions. As a matter of fact, there are a few sessions on Wednesday. One is outside the digital signage box, next to the evolution of AV connectivity, past, present, and future. Unified Communications Collaboration Workshop presented by the IMCCA, large-scale projection mapping, then delivering the best live sound experience for indoor spaces is the last one of that day. Three on Thursday. One is travel optimization as a technology investment justification getting old? Think again. Project management for live events. Now that one is taking place at 1:30 on Thursday, and that is moderated by Chuck Espinoza. So if you are in the industry for live events, I would definitely say stop in on that one. Now, Paul Zeely has one going on at the same exact time, Networked AV and Security, What You Don't Know Will Hurt You. And there's a write-up here on that. So Paul and I did talk about his session. And, you know, Paul being one of the experts on networked AV and security, I think it's definitely a worthwhile session to attend. Krista, you did attend one of Paul's sessions on that, didn't you?
I did, back a few months ago when he was at the AMX show. He did one of those. I ran into him before it, and he was just walking into it, so I went in and listened to it, and it was pretty good. So I encouraged Rich to sign up for that. And Rich, did you sign up for that at Connections?
Yes, I did. I just want to throw out there to the listeners that I'm so committed to a lot of things, but I'm so committed to learning and understanding the AV world. I actually took a day off from work to attend this on my own time, this Infocom Connections in New York. And I will be participating in a couple of workshops and having a great day learning a lot. So.
That's good to know, Rich. And yeah, so anyway, Paul and I talked about his session. We talked about a few of the sessions that he said he even wanted to attend there. You know, we talked about Chuck's session. We talked about, I believe Joe Cornwall is running a session he talked about, and a few of the others. So, you know, we spent a good 30 or so minutes talking. And then there was a little discussion on that little thing we called AVIT convergence, that the end comment here in the description, this is no longer a conversation about the convergence of AV and IT. That ship has sailed. The ship sailed. Paul told you why. I kind of indicated a little bit, and I certainly have no trouble talking about that ship sailing too. But you know, we had that again, about a 30-minute conversation. It was great. It is on Rave now if you want to listen to it. And you know, so Infocom Connections happening this week should be a terrific event, and I certainly encourage anybody in the New York City area, New York Metro, to attend. You can certainly register and go, and you know, some of these are free, and then there are other sessions that are paid. That's pretty much it. Hope to see you there. So I know you're all the way on the other side of the country there, Katie, so we wouldn't be able to see you and your wonderful self at in New York. But what's going on in your neck of the woods these days and in Cambie land?
Well, in my neck of the woods, literally speaking, the bears are hibernating. The snow is falling. Peace has returned to the land. So that is good. Figuratively and business related, we're on a roll. You know, it's funny because as we all come home from CEDIA, it's like, yay, we're all done with CEDIA. Okay, we go on the holidays. But those of us in PR that work on the international scale as well, then it's like, yay, now we can start writing for ISE. Yay, there's CES. Yay, no trade show. So I'm sure the holidays are in there somewhere, but at this point, we've gone right back into trade show prep mode. So we're trying to get all of our clients ready for ISE and get that initial messaging in place. Hopefully before everybody starts putting turkey on the table so that we can kind of just get the messaging done and start communicating, getting that early stage stuff in place. So it's funny. It's like I don't feel like we have shifted gears coming out of CEDIA yet. Every day is kind of a new editorial conversation. We're just, you know, the train just keeps on trucking. So, other than that, I mean, we've got some really cool new clients potentially coming on board. So I can't say anything about that. My world's been pretty focused on kind of winding down the show, getting ready for ISE on the international side, and working with putting together some new proposals. So not a whole lot I can talk about there, but I think just more for me, we've just been watching what the industry's saying and feeling and experiencing coming out of the show. And, you know, what are we going to do with all of that? And I'm, you know, for the first time in many years, I'm actually seeing from our clients and from, you know, just in the integration community, seeing sort of an inspired conversation going on. So, you know, as Corey, you and I have been talking a lot through social media and everything about, you know, how do we harness that conversation? And what are we going to do with that? You know, it's really great for all of us to sit around and talk about the industry and talk about technology and, you know, ooh, great show. And, ooh, you know, this other thing going on. That's really fun. But what's it all mean? Where's it going? What are we going to do with this? And how do we capture the conversation and then share that with the community to help everybody, sort of better understand where the industry is going and how the individuals are helping shape and form that future? So I think it's interesting. For me on the PR side, I'm finding that we're spending as much time promoting clients as we are trying to figure out how to corner the conversation, capture it, and deliver it to a broader audience through podcasting. And I think, you know, maybe Corey, you and I have been pretty connected on that the last 2 weeks.
Yes, we have.
There's so much value in, you know, kind of getting a group of people together and talking about technology, talking about evolution, where's the industry going and what are we doing? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we, outside of kind of the constant trade show prep, we go into this sort of year-end wrap up, but more of a looking forward to 2016 and strategizing. You know, what really is 2016 and beyond going to bring? You know, are we looking at 2017? Is there going to be a crash again? You know, those kinds of things. How do we prepare clients for that transition from what appears to be, at least for everybody in our book, from a really positive, strong 2015? How do we make 2016, you know, more of the same, but improve upon that and get us through what we think 2017 may become? It's a cool time. For us up here in the mountains, it's nice that peace has returned to the land because we just get to kind of hunker down and take a look at the playing field and figure out where we're going to be and where we're going to take our clients and where they're going to take us. So,
you know, and we talk about podcasting, and I was talking to Christina before about doing Tech Exchange, and we did, and with Johnny, as a matter of fact, we did a special CD edition of the week. It was a one-time show that we did, and it actually turned out to be great. We had you on with Steve at Ihiji and Vegeta at Stewart. We had a couple of people on from Barco. And I think the most wonderful thing was Vegeta being on for a first time ever, I believe you said, on a podcast.
She hit
a home run, I got to tell you. I don't think I've ever seen anybody on a podcast for a first time just so, you know, it looked like she had done podcasts before. I mean, yeah. She did a heck of a job. She really did.
Yeah. That's one of the things I enjoy about the job. You know, it's sort of, you know, identifying those individuals, those rock stars that don't necessarily have the platform mm-hmm. to, you know, sort of rise above and you know, sort of make a place for themselves in the industry. Yeah. And I find more often than not, it's women that we end up getting the opportunity to help. So, you know, for me, it's that sort of ends up being kind of my space. But, you know, with Vegeta, she's amazing. She's been there for 10 years and she's kind of one of the best known secrets. I mean, it's like everybody knows Vegeta, but nobody knows Vegeta. And yet she is so technical and amazing and the delivery is smooth and confident. Love that. You know, if I could clone that and sort of allow more women in the industry to see that, you know, it doesn't have to be so difficult.
No, and I tell you, you know, we have Krista, we have Hope, we have yourself, we have other women in the industry, obviously. And then you have somebody like Vegeta, and who knows if you'll hear her, when you'll hear her again. But I would hope that people, and a lot of people listen to that show. It was a great show. And I hope people really got to know her from that and say, okay, there's another woman in the industry who really has made an impact. And, you know, I tell you, it's just, there are definitely, there are more and more women out there. We just hope the visibility, happened there, just continues to happen. And Christina as well. Christina, well, hey, welcome to the AV industry. Here you are. You know, you are a part of it now, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully we can get even more women from this side of the house to go back and forth. I guess you could say we have some AV women who can come over to the drone side and some drone females come over into the AV side and really make this into something, maybe a niche market that we can really come together on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember, I think I was talking to Tech Exchange about women of drones. Why not, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're only 10% of the drone market right now. And I do know that DJI in a couple of weeks is going to their headquarters. They have their headquarters meeting. And one of the things that they're going to talk about, I've been in discussion with them a little bit, is how do they tap into, you know, only 10% of us are in the unmanned aircraft arena, yet we make up 51% of all the, you know, of people in the United States. So there's this huge market that they're missing, and DJI is going to try to tackle that and figure out how, why, when, where, if it's even possible.
Well, and you know, you reached out to a very influential woman in drones in that tweet you sent the other day. Just talk a little bit about her, because I tell you, I want to say right now, Helen Greiner, if you're listening, or if you even have the opportunity to listen, we would love you for you to come on this show. And I tell you what, if she does, you will be back, Christina, and you can come back too, Katie, because this woman really is something. iRobot with the Roomba. She is more, I guess you talk about drone robotics, I guess, more than just drones. I mean, that's something spectacular if you ask me.
Well, we'll have to see if she replies to my Twitter.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're not doing anything, we'd love to have you on a little show.
Keep going after her, Christina, you know, don't stop.
While you're at it, why don't you bring on your friend Zuckerberg, you know, yeah, we'll have the whole gang here. Sure,
why not? But you know what? That's those are the women out there that are just, you know, they are so influential in what they do in technology. And again, to have yourselves on this show and all that you do, you know, even bigger influences out there in technology and industry. And you know, that says great things. It really does. It really is something.
You know, I was just, before I came on, I was catching up on the social sphere and just making sure that, you know, everything was sort of put to rest so I could have some peace and quiet for an hour, hour and a half and hang out with you guys. And there was a thread on Facebook with, I think, Julie Jacobson, C Pro, started it. And she was presenting the board of directors candidates for this year, right? The 9 candidates filling 5 open spots. And of the 9 comments or so at the time, which she's got a very diverse following on the Facebook side, but, you know, about 30 minutes in, 9 comments had come, and there were only one of which came from a woman. I was like, odd that there's not a woman candidate on this.
I saw that.
Board of directors, right? You saw this, right?
I saw it, yeah.
And it's funny, I kept reaching for the keyboard. I kept going for the keyboard. I was like, no, you know, no, don't, you know, don't jump into the fray there. That's, you know, that's, for me, that's not the platform, and, you know, I'm not. I'm all about who the right person is for the job, regardless of anything else.
Sure, sure.
But it, you know, it's interesting, and I realized that as I read that note, it was like, wow, really? CD's never had a woman on the board? What the hell's wrong with that? We got to fix that, boys and girls, and girls and girls. So, it'll be interesting to see where we go. You know, I don't think it's going to happen in 2016, but you know, there beyond, and you know, for me, it's not about, you know, we have women, we have to have a voice, we have to be there, but more, it's, you know, it's we bring a different perspective
to the equation. And I think that's sort of what the industry has come to realize in the last few months. You know, it's just, we're different and we're, you know, that's good. Different is good. So yeah, I didn't really have anywhere to go with that.
Right? It's like the worst. You say something and then nobody replies.
And I'm just staring at myself and you guys are smiling at me.
Yeah, no, and then you're thinking back, did I say something really stupid and awkward?
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one who goes to the Facebook and goes, oh, I really want to just rage right here. And then you go, but now I'm a professional and I'm older and mature and I know that that's not where to do it. But I wish I could just like have a, like maybe a different name and I could just be that person under a different name. It's like, how do you not have any women on your board? And I know it's hard. It's hard.
I don't know. You just said it here. So it's good enough, I guess.
And I just
Facebook tweeted the show. So. And Johnny just tweeted it. There you go.
Or my assistant did, but whatever.
Yeah, assistant did. Right. Exactly.
With her dog paws.
Yeah. It's not spelled correctly or anything. It's just,
it won't make a lot of sense. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Hey, Rich, do you have any hot jobs that you want to enlighten us with?
Yes, yes. I got a couple of hot jobs, and we're going to go on to our favorite website, favorite job search website. It's tierpm.com, tierpm.com. No W's, Johnny, no W's. First job today is job 369, AV field engineer, and it's a work-from-home position located in the New York, New Jersey metro area. And this group is looking for an experienced audiovisual field engineer in the tri-state metro area. The audiovisual field engineer will handle all aspects of manufacturing, installation programming, and quality control during the initial installation and ongoing post-build. The ideal candidate will have at least 5 years of expert knowledge of the audiovisual industry standards, including system design, commercial integration, commissioning, as well as 1 to 2 years in a recent role as a project manager or field engineer. That is job 369, AV field engineer located in the New York, New Jersey metro area. Moving right along, we are going to 417. We talked briefly about this job last week, and it's so good we got to bring it back today. This is AV design engineer located somewhere between Philadelphia and New York City. It's a great opportunity to work from home. The ideal candidate must have 3 to 4 years of experience and will be highly skilled in the design, install, troubleshooting of advanced professional audio, video, and video conferencing solutions in the audio-visual communication integration industry, CTS. There it is again. And DMC or similar certifications are nice to have. Job 417, AV design engineer. And last but not least, job 423, account executive. This is a convention exhibitor event sales. Also in the New York, New Jersey area where we're going to New York this week. So we wanted to try and stick on the East Coast. And they are seeking a seasoned sales executive in the New York area to sell event technology solutions to trade show industry customers, including audiovisual, computer, lead retrieval, digital signage, and other technologies specifically for utilization by participants of events, trade shows, and conventions. This ideal candidate will have at least 3 years of professional sales experience and intimate knowledge of the metro area trade show and exhibition market, as well as significant book of business and trade show exhibitors and customers in the area. That's an awesome job. If that's your line, job 423, account executive. And Krista, back to you.
Thanks, Rich. So I want to say thank you to Christina Ng and Katie McGregor for joining us tonight. Thank you very much, ladies. You're both welcome back anytime. So that's it. I'm going to have to end the show now. So on behalf of www.richprovetti.cts, on behalf of Johnny Moda, Corey Moss, and me, Krista Bender, thanks for listening to AV Power Up.
Wait a second. So there is another smoking hot job. Katie McGregor had a smoking hot job. Katie, hurry up. What is it?
DTools is hiring for a salesperson. Uh-oh. Anybody interested should contact Tim Begones.
Uh-oh.
Tim Begones. Tim Begones. Uh-huh. There you go. Hot job.
Me too. Oh, and by the way, I did a richprovetti.cts lookup, and it brings up his LinkedIn. It brings up, like, all kinds of stuff on Rich Provetti. Rich, yeah. You're on there at richprovetti.cts. Look it up, okay? I'm you're famous, right, I'm telling you.
You need the W's?
No, I put in W's, but I don't think you need them. Yes, thank you, everybody out there. Christina, thank you so much. Katie, thank you so much for being here. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.